Ben stayed up on the wall for some time, but at last he sighed and jumped down into the sand. He went over to Sorrel.
"Hi, Sorrel,"
he said quietly, shaking the brownie's shoulder.
"Wake up."
Sorrel stretched and blinked at the sunlight.
"A still broad daylight," she hissed,
looking at Firedrake, who was sleeping peacefully in the shade of the old castle wall.
"Yes, but you promised me we'd talk about the question to ask the genie, remember?"
"Oh, yes, the question."
Sorrel rubbed her eyes.
"Right, but only if we have something to eat first. Heat makes a person hungry."
She made her way over to her backpack, the sand hot on the furry soles of her paws. Ben followed, grinning. "Oh, it's the heat now, is it?" he teased her. "We've had rain and thunderstorms and all kinds of weather since we started out, and you're hungry all the time."
"So what?"
Sorrel took a bag of mushrooms out of her backpack, sniffed it appreciatively, and licked her lips. Then she placed two large leaves on the sand and tipped the mushrooms out on them.
"Which shall I eat first?"
Ben just shook his head. He put his hand into his backpack for his bottle of water and a few of the olives the professor had given him. The bag containing them had slipped to the very bottom. As he rummaged, Ben's fingers felt something hairy. He snatched his hand out in alarm.
"What's up?"
asked Sorrel.
"I think there's a mouse in my backpack," said Ben.
"A mouse?"
Sorrel put down her mushroom, bent over the backpack.
It pounced quick as lightning.
With one swift movement, she produced the struggling Twiglet.
"Well, take a look at this," she cried. "What have we here?"
"Twiglet!" cried Ben, staring at the homunculus in surprise. "How did you get into my backpack? And why," he added, baffled, "have you kept so quiet till now?"
"Oh, young master, because,
stammered Twiglet, trying to free himself from Sorrel's grasp, but no matter how hard the mannequin twisted and turned, the brownie girl held him tight.
"Huh? That stumped you, right?"
she growled.
"Let go of me, you furry feline," squealed Twiglet. "How can I explain anything with you squeezing me like this? Ow!"
"Come on, let him go," said Ben. "You're hurting him." Reluctantly, Sorrel put the homunculus down on the sand.
"Thanks,"
muttered Twiglet. Looking injured, he straightened his jacket. "So, why didn't you say anything before?" repeated Ben.
"Why didn't I say anything? Because her, of course."
Twiglet pointed a trembling finger at Sorrel.
"I know she wants to be rid of me, so I hid in the backpack. And after that,"
he added, rubbing his nose and giving Sorrel a nasty look,
"after that, I kept quiet because I was afraid she'd throw me into the sea if she found me."
"Not a bad idea," growled Sorrel. "Not a bad idea at all."
"Sorrel," Ben dug his elbow into the brownie's ribs. Then, looking concerned, he turned to the homunculus. "She'd never do that, Twiglet. Honestly. She's very nice, really. She just acts like she's so, he glanced sideways at Sorrel, so hard-hearted all the time, see? But Twiglet did not seem convinced. He gave Sorrel another suspicious look. Sorrel responded with a scowl. "Here," Ben pushed a few crumbs of pita bread toward Twiglet. "You must be hungry, aren't you?"
"My humble thanks, young master, but Twiglet
cleared his throat, embarrassed.
"I'll just catch myself a few flies."
"Flies?" Ben looked incredulously at the mannequin, who shrugged his shoulders awkwardly.
"Flies? Ugh, putrid panther cap," said Sorrel. "Sounds just like you, you spider-legged fairy ring champignon."
"Sorrel," snapped Ben, "stop it, will you? Twiglet's done nothing to hurt you, okay? He freed you from that cage, remember?"
"Oh, very well."
Sorrel turned back to her mushrooms.
"All right. I promise not to throw him into the sea. Happy now? So, let's think about the question you're going to ask the genie with 1,000 eyes. After all, that's why you woke me up."
"Okay." Ben nodded and took a crumpled piece of paper out of his pocket. "I've written down a few ideas. Listen."
Just a moment,"
Sorrel interrupted.
"Do we want the mannequin to hear this?"
Ben groaned. "Oh, here we go again. Why shouldn't he hear it?" Sorrel looked Twiglet up and down.
"Why should he?"
she replied tartly.
"If you ask me, as few ears as possible ought to hear our question."
Well, I'm off then, said Twigleg. Don't mind me, I can be gone in a moment.
But Ben held him back by his jacket. You're staying here, he said. I trust you, and I'm the one who has to ask the question. Right. They finally have your attention, Sorrel. The brownie rolled her eyes.
Just as you like, but you'll land us in trouble trusting him like that. I bet my mushrooms on it.
You're nuts, Sorrel, said Ben. Totally nuts. Twigleg sat on Ben's knee, hardly knowing where to look. He had often felt small and worthless, but never as small and worthless as he did now. He was so ashamed of himself, he felt like confessing everything to the boy then and there, but he couldn't utter a word.
Right, how about this, said Ben, smoothing out his paper. Where is the rim of heaven hidden?
Seven words exactly.
Not bad, growled Sorrel. Sounds kind of funny, though. Well, I got another one.
Ben turned the piece of paper around. Seven words again.
Where does the rim of heaven lie?
Quietly, Twigleg slipped off Ben's knee and took a couple of steps backward. Sorrel instantly turned her eyes on him.
And where do you think you're going now? She growled.
Just for a walk, Furface, replied Twigleg. Any objections?
Going for a walk? Ben looked at the homunculus in surprise.
Wouldn't you like me to come too? He called after him. I mean, we don't know what kind of wild animals may be around here.
Twigleg's heart sank at the note of concern in Ben's voice.
No, no, young master, he called over his shoulder. I may be small, but I'm not helpless. Anyway, I'm so skinny, I don't look very tasty.
And so saying, he disappeared through a hole in the wall.